Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchas Chametz Matzah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Aleph, Chapter 2, Law 11. We're talking about more scenarios of mice and men dealing with chametz in the Masnayim text, page 36 and 37.
Steinberg, wasn't he the author?
Jonathan Steinberg.
Going to have a number of examples now, and all these examples are that you do not, at the end, it's going to say you do not have to recheck your house for chametz. That's going to be the end. So I'm already taking away the excitement, but
no.
It's a long, long, many clauses, so you got to know what to get into. So let's take one at a time. Now, you had a clean house, but you had shnei tziburim, two piles outside of the homes. You have echad shel chametz, you have one pile of chametz, the echad shel matz, one pile of matz. Remember, you can't distinguish.
This is in distinction to the previous one where we learned we had nine and one.
Yeah.
You had a pile of nine and a pile of one.
And yesterday's resolution was it's like 50-50.
Right. But now, we have two piles, one of chametz, one of matz. Ushtei batim, and two homes. Before we had one home. Echad baruk v'echad ena baruk. One was checked and one wasn't checked. Okay, and what we got also? Ubo shnachman. We got two mice.
Squeak, squeak.
Okay, Mickey and Minnie. Okay, now. Zenatol chametz v'zenatol matzah. One of them, Mickey or Minnie, took a chametz loaf and one took a matzah loaf. And they look the same. The breads, the matzah bread looks the same, so you can't tell the difference. As far as I'm concerned, mice look the same too. Okay, so now. You've got one mouse that's got a chametz one. One one's got a matzah one. And now they've scrammed into the two houses. We don't know. We don't know which house is the mouse who had the chametz. So look at all the variables we're dealing with over here. Right? You've got two piles. One's chametz, one's not. You got two mice. You got one house, one's been checked, one hasn't been checked. Now the mice go. You don't know which mouse went into which house.
Sounds like bad news to me.
So the ending is going to be, we don't have to recheck, because we assume that the chametz went into the house that wasn't checked, and the matzah went into the house that was checked. Why? Suffek drabanan lakula. Since it's a suffek drabanan, we go lenient.
Can mouse carry more than an ounce worth of
They're very, especially nowadays when we're watching the cartoons, they can really carry a lot.
You see they can carry?
It's unbelievable what they can carry. They can carry even plates with pizza on it. Yeah. Like, it's incredible. Anyway, but they can. Size isn't that much. They're strong creatures. All right? Anyway, that's the halach on that one. Now, V'chein shnei batim bedukim. Let's say you had two homes and they were both checked already. They're clean. V'tzibur echad shel chametz, and one pile of chametz uba achbar v'natul, and one mouse takes a piece of chametz and he goes and we don't know. And he knows he went into one house, but v'ni yadua leiz bayis nichlas. We don't know which house he went into. It's going to be the same halacha. Each house, we assume he didn't go into my house. He went into the other house, and therefore I don't have to check. Safek drabanan lakula. Oh, shiyara shenichnas leechad mehem. Or you know he went into one of them. Venichnas achrav. And then you went right after that guy.
After that rascal.
Ubarak, and you check. V'lo matzah klum, and he didn't see nothing there. So we assume.
He ate it.
Oh, Shabbatuk Motza Kikar, you checked and you found a bread.
That's it.
We'll assume, no, that was an old bread from before or whatever. Really? Or that bread, whatever. And we say, also, we assume the best. Right. So far, we're doing good. Now we come to the case that Shelly's going to be really going nuts over.
Where's Shelly?
No, because you're the one who's the good critical thinker. You've got the computer mind, so everything has to make exact sense over here. So this one is going to be very difficult to fathom, as opposed to what we learned yesterday. Now we have the last one here. O shahoyo tisha tziburim shel matzah. You have nine piles of matzah, ve'echad shel chametz, and one of chametz. But here's the difference in the case of yesterday. What happened yesterday? One of them went.
It's 50-50.
What exactly happened?
A mouse came and you're not sure which pile he went into.
And a mouse came and he took, and we don't know what he took from.
Yeah.
We know he went into all the piles and he took one and just put it right into the house.
Yeah.
That was checked.
The house was checked.
But here it's going to be a little different. Just one small difference is going to change the halacha. Now, upeirash kikamran, and one loaf just went out of the house. It went out of this group. You had the nine piles here, the one pile here, and one just ended up here. Not
before
in your house.
Had anything to do with it.
Yeah, just one of them just ended up here. Now, then what happens? We don't know if this piece is chametz or matzah. Then, uba achbar, then the mouse comes. He takes that loaf that had been, that came apart from the rest, and put it into a checked house. You see how that's different than the case before. The case before, you had nine and one right here. The mouse took from the pile and right into the house. So that we say, that was called kavua. The bad thing came from the set spot. And from the set spot, direct into the house. Here, what happened is, we say, whenever it's a kavua, it's set, we say anything that comes out of that is called 50-50. Here, the case was that one piece ended up here. And there's no shilas here, it just ended up here. And then from here, the mouse went and took it into the house. Then we apply a different rule. Here, something just went out of the group. It didn't go from the set into the area of question. It went from the set spot into an area that has nothing to do with anything. It has no halachic implications at all. Then when that happens, the rule changes, and we say anything that separates out of the group without going into anything else, we go with the majority in that case.
Wow.
Majority and what, though?
Nine versus one. Nine.
No, that's
nine
obvious, but it wasn't with anything. It was separate.
That's the whole thing.
As opposed to when it's nine and one and it goes direct, a direct flight right into the house,
50,
then
50.
We say it's 50-50. If it goes out, just separated out,
it's gonna have trouble.
Then we look at it and it's not in no gay anything yet. We say, oh, well, we go with the majority now that it's out. And then from then it goes
same
in.
Same with Buster.
It goes, that so that's the same thing with meat. The same thing with meat. When meat comes out of the place there, we assume it goes after the majority, but if it goes right into an area of Shiloh,
wow,
then that's the rule
point.
They made.
Okay. That's a rule, but I don't need the logic.
I don't either, but that's the rule.
That piece that got separated, would you say it's 50-50, it's chametz or matzah?
I'm told you, we're not going to run with the logic here.
No, but you would say it's 50-50, the same thing, right? It's no different than the direct piece.
No, he's saying there is. If there's one stop removed,
No, but aside from that piece on its own is no different than the piece that went into the rack. Just on its own, that piece. It's 50,
but it stopped before.
I understand. It's a whole different class.
We judge this here before it's going into place. And when you judge it where it doesn't have anything to do with it, then we go with the majority.
You don't have to know what it is. You're referring back to Halacha Yud, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, but in Halacha Yud, it was nine piles of chametz and one pile of
matzah. Nine of matzah.
No, this is one nine of matzah.
It's the same. It's the same. Nine of matzah, one of chametz.
It's a typo.
Oh yeah, we changed that yesterday. We went through that. The Hebrew is correct and the English is incorrect. You got to cross it out. See, good, you guys remembered. Excellent. So that's the thing with the meat as well. Same as well. Once the meat is separated from its original place, that principle doesn't apply anymore. So we have to learn more and more to understand, you know, what potential logic is there. But that's the rule. You got to go with the rule.
But Rabbi, here it's single. Over there, no.
It was also single.
No, here they put the bread between. Over there, no.
No, not between. Took the bread out.
Out.
The
yeah.
bread went so out.
Put the one bread over there. No, it was one pile, one
no.
pile.
No. Both cases, Yud was nine piles and one pile.
Correct.
You're right,
this
you're
is
right.
also nine pile and one pile. The difference is, in Yud is it went right from the pile right into the house. Right into the house. Which already automatically the Shiloh is, there's a Shiloh now on what came out. Here, it went somewhere else where there's no Shiloh. I don't care. No halacha deals it. And then from there, it moves into here. So that one step changes and we go with the majority. That's not halacha.
Okay, the majority don't understand the logic.
Okay. So in all these cases, b'chol eilo, ein etzarach livdok pamshin. In all these cases, you don't have to check another time. She'ein kan kavu. You don't have a set place. The set place makes, we're stricter. Then it's assumed like 50-50. Okay.
Majority, go by the majority.
Look here.
You're looking again. The English is wrong.
No. Okay. No, I'm meaning over there it's one loaf is separate from.
No, it's a tisha tziburim shel matzah ve'echad shel chametz.
Yeah.
9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz.
Right. And
what? And a mouse came. Yeah. Are you looking at Yud?
What number are you looking at?
Yud Aleph, right?
Well, Yud Aleph. We're in the last case now, not the first case.
No.
9 piles of matzah and 1 uperash, and it's separated. We separated 1 bread,
correct,
and it didn't go in the house.
Okay.
Yes.
It didn't go in the house.
Yes. Sitting there waiting.
So now it's sitting somewhere else.
Correct.
And now the mouse took it and put
correct
it into the house.
Correct. And before,
it went straight from the pile into the house. That's the difference. So that's what we're saying is a different halacha. If it comes from the kavua, if it comes from the set, it's 50-50.
Correct.
Once it's out and there's halacha, we say once it goes out, it goes to majority. That's the difference. But the logic is difficult to understand.
I can understand.
No, I understand
the first one because it's 50-50 because it came. It's either chametz or matzah. It's one or the other. So you don't know. So it's 50-50 as opposed to 9. The odds of it being one or the other. But either way, it's either chametz or matzah. It's 50-50. So I can understand the 50-50. What I don't understand is what difference does it make if it's 50-50 now and then all of a sudden it's not anymore?
Because it doesn't have any halachic implication yet.
You see, a pile has a halachic significance. A piece by itself has none.
Numbers.
A piece by itself has none. So because of that, it doesn't have the entity, the importance, the cheshivas that a pile has.
If I have a piece of chametz in the house, then I shouldn't worry about it because it's not a pile, by that logic.
No, but you can't have chametz in your house.
This is in the house. This is outside the house.
And it's before Pesach.
Yes. I know, but okay, but I'm dragging the piece. Let's just go ahead.
Wait till we learn Chulin. It's the Gemara Chulin, right?
Okay,
we're learning Pesachim. Test on the base. We'll get there. We'll dig into the Gemara there. Okay, Yud Beis.
I like this.
Okay, next. Hiniach hechametz bezavis. What if you left a little chametz in one of the corners in your house, I guess to take the next, after the bedikah, you put some chametz in one place, and look what happened. The next morning you wake up, and you find the chametz in another corner.
Oh, that's the bad.
Chametz has legs.
So, we're gonna tell you in all these cases, you're gonna have to check again.
Yeah.
Why? The one on this is because we're concerned that the chametz that you left in this corner got lost or eaten, and the chametz in a new corner, that's fresh chametz that a rat brought in. We do not assume that your chametz moved from one spot to the other.
Right.
Because chametz doesn't have legs.
On its own.
So since it doesn't have legs, we assume that, you know, a mouse took that and ate it up or whatever.
Because a mouse doesn't leave
crumbs.
And
then a brand new one went over there. That's what we assume.
If you put them in little baggies or something like that, then you'd be okay.
I don't know. If they moved on to the other one, I don't know.
No, but...
All right, could be, because it's more likely to be the same bag. Maybe. Okay. Or another one. Osheniach teisha chalas. Look at this one. You left 9 chalas overnight, and you wake up the next morning. Umasa eser, and now you find 10. Now you find 10. You got to check again. Now your commentary says it's look at the case they compare it to. Look on page 40. Compare to a guy who put aside 100 dinars of money that was designated as Meiser Sheni. He's got to take Jerusalem.
Oh,
right?
We took this case already.
And then what happens is now he discovered he has 200. Now there's 200 there. So now what do? You got to take the 200 to Jerusalem? What's the law?
No.
So the Rambam says that none of the money is considered Meiser Sheni.
It's somebody else's money.
Why? Because we suppose that the
100 was taken.
That the 100 was taken away. And a new thing was put there.
200.
That's why we say you don't have to pay any money.
Where did we get this
9 thing? Just doesn't grow into 10. We assume the 9 left, the 100 left, and another 200 comes back. Same thing, we assume that the 9 went away, and there's a brand new 10. And so now you have to know what happened to
also.
You have to know what happened to those 9. Okay? Or a third case. Or an achbar came along, a mouse came along, and he took the chametz with a suffik nichlas abayze olo nichlas. We don't know if he went into this house or not. It's not a question of two separate houses. Then that's a different case, because I could say went into another place. We just don't know if he went in the house. But you got to check out of suffik.
But I thought Suffolk...
So sometimes I guess the Suffolk is more stronger than the other case.
Now, what was the case here? Where's the mouse and where's the bread and where's he going? Like, was he in the house?
It could have been in the house. Or the last case is from out of the house into the house. You see the mouse coming in. He's going in. He was out of the house with the bread and just... And you're not sure if he made it into the house or didn't get into the house. He's heading to the house, but I don't know if he made it into the house. Wow. So it's only you, right? So that since it pertains to you, we're more strict on that. Yugemel. Nichnas achber labayis v'kikar b'fi. Here's a really interesting one. A mouse comes into your house. You know that for sure. He's got bread in his mouth for sure.
He's got a kikar.
V'yotza achber misham. And now you see a mouse coming out of there. V'kikar b'fi. And a bread in his mouth.
That is the same one.
We say, "Hu harishon shenichnas," the first one that went in. Hu achron shiyotze, he's the one that went out. Because we only know about one mouse. We assume it's the same mouse. Took it in, took it out. On the other hand, look at this one, guys. The first one who brought the mouse was a black mouse.
Schwarz.
And one who leaves loves a white mouse.
A whitey.
Then, sorry, we have to check. Why? Because we assume that mouses don't pass the baton. In other words, mice don't, because we know, mystically, mice are very greedy animals.
Now, we talked about that with Disney.
Right, so therefore, we assume that you got to check it now because they're not going to share.
The golden mouses?
Yes.
The golden hemorrhoids?
Nichnas achbar v'kikar b'piv. How about a mouse comes in with a bread in his mouth? V'yatzasa misham. But now, what came out wasn't a mouse, but a chulda, but a weasel. And they're a little bit bigger than mice. And look what is in the weasel's mouth. V'kikar b'piv. And it's a bread in his mouth.
Along with the mouse?
So now you might say, maybe the weasel beat up the little mouse, and he went and took that same bread. You might think. Sarek, Livdok, you gotta check it again.
Yeah.
We don't say that he took it, because if he was doing that, he would have had the mouse with him also.
Yes.
If he took, in other words, the little mouse wouldn't give up, so the weasel said, "The heck with you, I'm gonna take you and the bread, and get you out and beat you up and take
the
thing away."
The weasel scared the mouse, the mouse ran away, and the weasel picked up the bread.
No, that's what we're saying. The mice, they're greedy, they're not gonna give it up. So he's gonna take over my dead body. He says, "Okay, I'll do it."
We'll do that,
so he takes it, and that's the next halacha. But if a weasel comes out, the achbar v'kikar b'fiv, and the mouse and the bread is in his mouth, then ain't it tzarich leave? You don't have to check, because then it's clear. Shazak kikar hu shayiv v'achbar. That bread that was in the mouse, it's the same bread that was there. He took the whole thing. Now, what about a snaky case now? What if a snake goes into one of the holes in the wall or whatever, and has bread in his mouth for sure? Now, what are you going to have to do? So maybe we have to go get a snake charmer and pay a snake charmer to get him out. No. Ein chayev lahavi chabor. You don't have to bring a snake charmer lahotzio to take him out. Rather, what do? You're mevatel. You nullify it in your heart, and then you're okay. I have something on 42 over here. He has to nullify it. Okay, fine. Next. Yudal. Ksayis.
I'm not sure. Like, it doesn't say why. And why aren't you worried that the snake's just going to leave the bread there and then you'll have bread in the house?
Right. Snakes aren't like that. They don't leave bread in the
house. So they swallow things whole usually.
Well, I think it would be kind of dangerous to try to get it from that snake, too.
You don't have to endanger your life.
No, but don't you have to check the house again to make sure that...
No, he's going to stay in the hole there. So just nullify it, and that's all.
Yeah, in your heart. That's it.
He ain't going to take it all around. You saw he went into the hole, and you just leave the snake alone. And just, leave well enough alone. You doubt it. But nullify it. You have to nullify it. Okay. Ksayis chametz bishmei korah. Let's have a ksayis of korah. Let's say on top of one of these waves.
Oh, so it's on
a piece of chal, like on a high beam. You're not going to reach it. You're never going to get there. How it got there, who knows? Maybe a kid, was happy one day, just threw a brace. He's
mouse took it up there.
Right? Anyway, so you see it's up there. So what do you do? Look at this. You got to get a ladder and bring it down. How do you like that? You got to get a ladder and bring it down, even if you nullified it.
Whoa.
You still have to bring it down. Why? Because someone's going to fall right down.
Yeah.
It could fall right in your matzo ball soup, and you're just going to eat a little bit of challah. So therefore, we're concerned that could happen. But the reverse is not so. What if there's chametz in a deep pit?
It's not
going to
fall.
Then you don't have to go down and bring it out, because it ain't going to fall out of the pit and jump into your soup. But nullify in your heart, and that is good enough. That's, however, if that fell in, you know, unintentionally. But if you hid it in the pit, then you'd be transgressing, because you want it there. So only if it fell by itself, then you don't have to go after that. Okay, other cases. Tesvav.
Well, what's the story when goyim put challah into your well? Does that make it impossible to take water from during Pesach?
Do you know that they did that?
Well, before Pesach would be bottled,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's
only during Pesach. They did that in Paul.
But it would be bottled.
Before Pesach, well, it's bottled.
On Pesach would be a bigger problem.
Yeah. So if they didn't,
but then again, it could be a problem on Pesach.
Which we need a rabbinical ruling. But water, challah doesn't affect water, does it?
If it disintegrates into your challah, that could be a big problem.
Water can, it may dissolve
in the, you know, in a day's time, it's going to be all influence, and it's not bottled b'mashu.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't be
bottled. On Pesach, it won't be bottled.
Before Pesach, it's totally bottled.
Tesvav. Kipas se'or shichad l'shivo. How about a block of yeast? A big block of yeast, you designate it to make it a chair to sit on. But we did, right? It's a big block, right? But wait a minute. Imtach panah batid, if you smeared it all over with mortar, all around it, I guess you don't plan on eating that yeast anymore.
No.
Harezeh batel, you've nullified that yeast. It's no longer a piece of yeast. It's a piece of chair. Mutlakam, you can keep it right there. I don't know why people would do that, but that's what they do.
I've seen, like, the wheat encased in plastic or something like that.
But it's for a chair, man.
Oh, I mean it's jewelry. I'm just saying.
Okay. Anyway, so it's nullified. So that would have a lot of implications, like when you have those macaroon art. You know, you see kids, they make these little pictures.
Macaroni.
From macaroni.
Macaroons are okay.
Macaroni art, thank you. The macaroni art, but they shellac it.
Yeah.
And other things. That would be this halacha, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you definitely are mevatel it, and you're not going to eat it.
So why is Play-Doh
because
it's
usable.
Because it's usable. It's like dough. You could eat it.
Really, no, you're not doing anything.
You're
not going to eat it.
But you could.
You couldn't eat this because it's
the block. The block's been shellacked. It's got mortar over it. You can't get to it.
Dog would eat Play-Doh.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm just saying you could eat the Play-Doh. It's like, but
dogs
here, if the macaroni is shellacked, you just can't eat it. It's like finished. It's done. Play-Doh, it's very nice. You just take a bit, put it in your mouth. You know.
There you go.
Kids eat it.
I'd be more
kids eat. Kids eat
the macaroni. Kids
not if you break your tooth on it. The Play-Doh goes right in.
Does it matter that it looks like?
Listen, Shelly, kids eat dirt.
What did I say? You're pediatric.
You never saw a kid eating dirt. It's yummy. So they're gonna
eat
some Play-Doh. Okay, moving on to dough. Butsake, look at this one now. Dough should be seed ke hareva. You know, kneading troughs could have cracks in them.
What's a kneading trough?
Where they put the dough in. You know,
a big trough. A big, big trough where you knead the dough.
It's like a professional bakery.
Whatever. And now it could have a few cracks in it. So instead of, you know, he said, what's a baker going to do to fill in the crack? Well, he just puts a little dough to fill in the crack, right? So now that would be a problem, you think. Well, it depends. There's a whole kazayas of dough in a big crack, then you'd have to burn it out, because that's a chashuv amount. If you love it, it's less than a kazayas, so we say like this, depends. It was to strengthen the broken part of the kneading trough, or to close off a hole in the kneading trough, so you really plan on making it part of the kneading trough. It's nullified, that little bit's nullified, it becomes part of the kneading trough, no different than smearing the yeast with the mortar. You're making it into a kneading trough, as it were. Okay, then it's bottle. But you don't plan on doing it for that reason. I'll take it out one day. Then you got to burn it. But that's if what? If that is a whole size.
Yeah.
If it's a whole size. Now, what if you have two half ksayis in two spots? You're stuck in one little part of the kneading trough, but then you got but a little string of dough that's attaching the two together. So now that might make it one combined thing. So it depends. Wrong. We look. If we would remove that little string and with that, nitlin imo, and the other two halves go with it, then that's considered one chunk, and chayv levar, then you gotta burn it out. Okay. But if not, ain't sarach levar, you don't have to burn it out. If they're not separated.
If they don't come up together,
you don't have to nullify them, because it's less than a kesayis. Remember, the only problem was if it's a kesayis in one place. Right? Remember, this is really complicated here. Again, let's go over the halachas here. If you found it in the kneading trough, if it has a kesayis in one place, there's no question. You gotta burn it out. If not, then it depends. Are you using it to strengthen or not to strengthen? So it comes in even less than a kesayis, it's not to strengthen. You too would have to burn it. Now he says two half ksesim, which are in two places. Now obviously it's got to be there for strengthening purposes, right? Because it wasn't for strengthening purposes, it would be a problem anyway. So you have two of them for strengthening purposes. Now the question is, are they combined or not? Will determine if it's a kesayis or less than a kesayis.
So if it's infrastructure purpose and less than a kesayis, we are clear to be able to use it.
That's right. But if it's,
considered butthole to the infrastructure, according to the Rambam.
Yeah, it's outside your house. Now, but Madvarma, and when do we say this halacha? That the two half zesim of chametz in two places, you're not chayiv to burn it, bareva, when it's the kneading trough outside the house. If it's in your house, a cracker there, afal pi shiminat lachud en nitlimo, even if you take the string that they don't go with it, so it's separated, still in your house, chayv levar, you've got to burn it out. Why? Because you may collect them together when you sweep the floor. Sometimes you can get two pieces, end up getting swept out of the cracks and end up together. It'll make a ksias. That's a problem in the house. The kneading trough, you're never going, it's outside the house. You're never going to sweep the floor. It's not going to be. Now, let's say half of a kesayis was in the house, and one on the second floor, or half in the house, and half in the porch,
the veranda.
One kesayis in one room and one in the room within the room. All these. Since these halves are attached to the walls, or the ground, but they're not connected to each other at all, and chayv levar, you don't have to burn it out, ela mevatel belibo v'dayo, nullified in your heart, and that is enough. Next week we'll talk about renting from a guy and who has to clean out the chametz if you're a renter.
You're not supposed to be seen with the dough in your house.
Well,
you're not supposed to have.
So that's why you have to nullify it.
The nullifying is enough.
Yeah, and it's less than excise, so you nullify it. And you want it to fill in a crack.